In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For many of you, this is a message that you hear week after week. It is a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there are so many in our own communities, in our own neighborhoods, that do not know that word. You have relatives that do not confess that word. Co-workers, friends that do not confess the saving name of Jesus. Why is that? And what can we do about it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God relayed this information to Moses. And Moses wrote it down that generation upon generation may hear it and believe. In the beginning was the Word, John writes. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him and for Him. This Word is the eternal Son. That when the fullness of time came, He was born of the Virgin Mary. We had been foretold of this coming. Jesus is not plan B, He is always in mind. And so when God created everything, He created everything perfectly without sin in 6 natural days. On the 7th day, God rested from His labor. God declared everything to be very good. But the devil in his pride caused angels to fall with him and then tempted Eve by convincing her that God's word was not true. Did God really say, he proclaimed to her. And it made her doubt. It made her look at what God had told her not to eat. She looked upon it and declared, you know what? I do want to make my own decisions. I want to be my own God. And she ate of that fruit, giving it to her husband who also ate, and the fall into sin occurred. God had told them, you are not to eat of this fruit, for on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Death entered the world because of sin. By Adam's fall, all of us have this sin. We're infected by it. That's why you have pain. That's why you have loved ones that have left this temporal earthly life. It is a result of that sin of Adam. And the sin that is passed down. Jesus in our gospel lesson points to himself as the fulfillment of Moses, of the Psalms, and of the prophets. All of these things proclaim the Messiah who is to come. God proclaimed to the devil, to Eve, and to Adam in the fall, in the consequences of the fall. He already gives the gospel in Genesis chapter 3:15. I will put enmity between you, devil, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Proclaimed already after the fall, proclaimed that the Messiah would come. Eve believed this message so fervently that when her firstborn son was granted to her, she believed that this could be the Messiah. How little she understood, but how bold her faith in this. Cain, rather than being the Messiah to save them from sin, instead would take the first life. Death had entered the world because of sin. We see in Moses, then, that Jesus is foretold. The one that would be bruised by the devil, but that in that bruising would destroy the head of the serpent. We look forward also then to the Psalms as Jesus proclaimed. I am the fulfillment of that which is written in Moses, Genesis, in the Psalms, and in the prophets. Psalm 22 is a psalm that our choir sings as the altar is being stripped on Maundy Thursday, as we remember that after our Lord has instituted his supper, the true body and blood given and shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. That as we remember that he was arrested, beaten, and brought to the cross, these words are sung. Think on these words. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Jesus himself would cry out with the first verse of this psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The psalms are proclaimed. David, moved by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, proclaims this, and the church sings it. And it is fulfilled in Christ on his cross. We look also at Isaiah, perhaps one of the clearest prophecies of this suffering servant, of this Jesus, God who would take on flesh, what he would do for us. Isaiah 53. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief, and you make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. All three things I have read to you are from the Old Testament, of God's promise of the Messiah. In Greek, that would be the Christ. All those who confessed the Christ who was to come, the Messiah who would save them from their sins, were Christians. They confessed this. Adam and Eve confessed this. Jesus, his garments would be divided, and by the bruising of his heel, by having nails pierced through his hands and through his feet, the devil's head is defeated. Yes, they jeered at him just like so many jeer at you for holding to this faith that you believe in. But it is the truth. It is the only hope of salvation. The only hope is Jesus. There is no other name by which we can be saved. For Jesus has proclaimed, John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. The devil has the world convinced that there are many ways. But the devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. And Jesus is the truth. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, the sent ones, the preachers. Yes, God raises up men into the office of the holy ministry to preach, to teach, and to administer the sacraments. But he raises up all of you, man, woman, boy, girl, young and old, to proclaim the deeds of Jesus. All of you can do that. You proclaim it with your lips. You proclaim it through your actions. You proclaim it when you see a community that is hurting or in need, and you gather together to provide, to point them to a better way. That sin of Adam infects all of us, and it leaves this God-shaped hole inside of us. And so many people try to fill it with so many things. Substance after substance, they try to fill that hole, but none of it can truly fill it. They need God. They need to know that they were made in the image and likeness of God, and that he acknowledges the brokenness of this world, but that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die in their stead. You are witnesses of this. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, Jesus says, are written concerning me. Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning right here in Waterford. Not all of you live in Waterford, and I don't care if that's town or village. This is our community. We are Waterford. Some of you have driven over 40 minutes to be here at this church and at this community to hear the word of God. My prayer is that you walk away today uplifted by God, that you would know that the Spirit is alive and active in each of you, and that while the devil would have you believe that this is completely false, that this is a complete waste of your time, there is absolutely nothing better that you could do than to spend time in God's Word with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Repentance, remission of sins. As a Christian, we acknowledge that we are sinners, but we acknowledge that we have a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, the God-man. I'm not better than anyone else. The difference is that I acknowledge that I cannot save myself. I am not good in and of myself. My goodness, my strength, my beauty, my truth flow from that which is good and true and beautiful, and that is Jesus Christ. Today is the day, dear children of God, to proclaim Jesus. The fullness of time had come. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to fulfill it perfectly for you, for me, for the people of Waterford and our surrounding communities who've never heard the name of Jesus, who have rejected the name of Jesus. Today is the day to proclaim that name, because the day will come when Christ returns. The trumpets will sound, the voice and cry of an archangel will be heard, the dead will rise, and the souls of the saints will be rejoined to their bodies. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. Christ is the life. On that day, just as Paul proclaimed, these words, he was made of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have a king. Christ is king. In the name of Jesus, amen.